This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. What's up? What's happening? Happy Monday. Ant, how you feeling?
I'm feeling fantastic, man.
Love that. Love that. Super producer Anthony Haney there. Craig Hoffman here. Welcome to the program. You're probably thinking we're going to start the show with March Madness thoughts. And we can do a couple. But Anthony, this is an internal debate that I have sometimes with myself of like, how much for the show do I need to go out and make sure that I am consuming the things that other people are watching? And how often do I just punt on those things and throw up my hands and go, this is not my specialty. This is not what I know about. And just be honest with the audience and say, I could give you some thoughts on March Madness. I could sit here. I could read someone else's analysis. I could give them credit or worse, pass it off as my own. I could look at some KenPom numbers and sound really smart about the bracket. Or I can just tell you that I've watched 10 minutes of college basketball all year. I'm excited to fill out my bracket and see what happens. We will bring on have our annual visit, I believe, tomorrow with Kevin Brown, voice of the Orioles, but also college basketball announcer for ESPN, where he'll tell us a bunch of smart things. I think on Wednesday, we might try to link up with Denton and let him tell you a bunch of smart things. I think we're going to try to record in Denton's office, if you know, you know, after he gets done with Kevin's show. And tell you that we're going to get the things that you want from the info, without me having to fake like I know a damn thing about any team in this tournament, specifically on the men's side, and more than about five teams on the women's side.
Nice.
That's where I'm at.
It's all good. I mean,
I will say I'm looking forward to the tournament this year.
Oh, for sure.
Which is something that is, and you're a big reason to thank / blame, whichever one you want that to be for that. Because you have said this tournament's going to be way better than the previous ones.
Yes, I'm excited. I think the men's and women's bracket is definitely going to be exciting. Even over the weekend, like all the tournaments that, you know, went on, like all of those, the buzzer beaters, the even Maryland's loss. I'm still not over that one.
That was crazy. That I did see. Like on Instagram, I didn't see it live, but I saw.
Yeah.
I saw what happened. Man, I don't know how much more turtle heartbreak we can get in one season.
Dude, the amount of buzzer beaters.
The good thing is, Maryland fans, at most, you can only have one more loss. We are in the time of year where you got one loss left. Now, I don't know how heartbreaking that loss could be. Obviously, the sooner it happens, the more heartbreaking it will be no matter what the variety, whether you get your doors blown off, whether you lose by a nice easy 10, or whether it's another heartbreaker. But oh my God, has Maryland lost some ridiculous games this season.
Yeah, their last four losses have all, you know, come within the final 8 seconds of a game. And two of them, buzzer beaters. Three of them, actually. So, it sucks.
Yeah. So maybe law of averages, spin that around the other way. Terps, although they got a lot of, I hope that they get airline miles. Terps fans, if you're going to stack up on airline miles.
Yeah.
Going to Seattle and then San Francisco.
Yep.
You make it the second weekend. Where's the Final Four this year? I should know. I know the women's is in Tampa.
I'm not sure.
Okay. So
I will be watching though.
Yeah. I mean, I'll watch too. I'll watch March. And also like, 7 of the top 10 roughly prospects in the on most NBA draft big boards. Like, they're actually going to be in the tournament this year.
Yeah.
Who was the first college player that went in the draft last year? Maurice Arshay, Sarr. Who's the third pick?
I think it was Stephon Castle to the Spurs.
To the Spurs at 5. Yeah. So this year, Flagg's going to go 1. The two Rutgers kids are going to be somewhere in the top 5. They didn't make the tournament, but how do you have two top 5 NBA players and not make the tournament?
Yeah, people come on trying to say their teams. I'm like, dude, you have two top 5 guys. Like,
it's basketball.
Your team doesn't matter.
40% of the team is going to be in the NBA next year.
Exactly.
And you can't make the tournament? What are we doing? Also, why did you go to Rutgers? Maybe these things are related. So, women's tournament is going to be bonkers as well. I think there's more teams that can win the women's tournament than maybe any women's tournament I can remember. Notre Dame's a 3 seed. They got like, they have 3 or 4 future top 5 draft picks.
Yeah. I mean,
Citron, Miles, their centers, a future pick. Like, they're starting backcourt. They're starting backcourt, Citron and Miles, the two of their 3 guards are going to be top 5 picks probably this year. And then Hidalgo will be one whenever she comes out.
Yeah, she'll be 1 or 2. Like, she's nasty.
Yeah. They have some bigs that are also, and they're a 3 seed. UConn, I think, got you and me and Linnell were yelling at each other in the hallway about them. They should be a 1 seed, but the 4 ones are all really good and all could win it. UConn could win it as a 2. TCU's floating down there with Haley Van Lith, last seen by a lot of folks who haven't watched in a year, getting torched by Caitlin Clark because Kim Mulkey left her on an island, like an absolute abdication of her duty. She just bounced back after transferring to TCU and was the Big 12 player of the year. So they're pretty good. So it's going to be fun. But Anthony, I told you that for us, and we're going to get to, I'm going to tell you what we are going to start this show with in a second to the listening audience. But sometimes I spring surprises on Anthony, and he knows there's a game coming later in the show. He does not know what the game is yet. Anthony, would you like to know what the game is?
Sure, let's go.
Okay. I was kind of hoping you say that. Otherwise, we don't really have another 2 minutes of content in us here to fill the rest of the segment. I think we're still doing this at 6, the way the rundown shakes out.
Either 5:30 or 6. One of the
I think we're going to do it. I think we're going to do it at 6.
All right.
So here's the game that we're going to play. That you just heard was for me about the extent of my NCAA tournament knowledge. Anthony does have more because he actually pays attention to college basketball. So I was like, how can we have some fun with this where we can have a little competition and we're on somewhat of an even playing field? Anthony's a smart person. Sometimes I wonder how much attention he paid in school and how much attention he's paid outside of school.
Okay.
So here's what we're going to do. I haven't decided the mechanism yet, and this is why I want to run this by you now. And people can, you know, drop their comments in the YouTube chat or, you know, DM us or whatever to implement here. But I would like to play a game where someone names a school, and then there's a certain amount of points available based off how much information you can say about the school. Their mascot, where they're geographically located, players on the roster, the coach. So, like, we'll finalize the categories. And then the question becomes, Anthony, do we challenge each other Or do we take calls and people can throw a school at us from the bracket?
I think we challenge each other.
That's kind of my lean. But then we can't look anything up ahead of time.
I'm not going to look anything up.
Because I would hate to be looking up a school for my next one and then you throw that school and I'm like, well, the information's right in front of me. So we will finalize the rules of the game. But at 6 o'clock, we're going to play a game. And it's going to be entertaining. Good? Questionable. Entertaining? We gotcha. Coming up next, though, football. That's where we thrive. And I think this is a fascinating discussion. The news of the day in the NFL is that Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins have both signed monstrous contracts. Derek Stingley Jr. also signed the second biggest cornerback contract in the league behind Pat Surtain. So with Chase specifically resetting the receiver market and becoming the highest non-paid non-quarterback in the league, my question to you is this. If you could pay any non-quarterback in the league, who would it be? We've got some names, some of which are already getting paid at that level, Garrett and Chase. But who else would you add to the list? Which non-quarterback would you be willing to pay quarterback money? 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Anthony and I have some names to banty about and some positions, like which positions are actually worth paying. So we'll get into that next on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Ja'Marr Chase paid $40 million per year over the next couple of years by the Cincinnati Bengals, taking Duke Tobin's promise, their general manager at the NFL Combine, that he would become the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. Of course, that became a lot harder to do after Myles Garrett got paid $40 million a year to grow sack quarterbacks by the Cleveland Browns, thus keeping him in Cleveland at least for now. So the question that I have is two parts, Anthony. One, is there any non-quarterback that's worth quarterback money? Is there any other position player that can make the kind of impact that a quarterback can make on a game? If so, who? And is it like position dependent? Is it the actual player? Because I think that's another fun side to this argument is, are there certain positions that are more valuable? Generally speaking, yes. But are there certain players that maybe override their position that you're just like, that guy's so good, I don't care that he's playing X position. He changes the game on that level. So it's a lot of questions. But it starts off with, is there anybody that you would pay not top of the market quarterback money, because no one is making 60 the way that Burrow and Allen and those guys are right now. But is this a mistake to pay Ja'Marr Chase or Myles Garrett $40 million? Because I tend to say the answer is no.
I mean, the person that comes to mind like quickly, and everybody's been anticipating, you know, when he's going to get paid, is Micah Parsons. Like, the dude's been in the league 4 years. He's a 3-time All-Pro, 4-time Pro Bowler. The guy, you know, consistently racks up 12, 13, 14 sacks a season. So he's been, you know, wreaking havoc just like, you know, that of Myles Garrett and, you know, the Max Crosbys of the world who also just got paid. So he immediately comes to mind. He's young. He's still in his prime. And I can give him a blank check, dog. Like, he is that good. And he's durable. Like, I mean, last season he missed 4 games. But, like, outside of that, he pretty much like played in every single game.
Yeah, he's been fantastic throughout his career. And it's remarkable just how good that guy has been, considering he wasn't the top pick like Myles Garrett. Everyone knew that Myles Garrett was going to be Myles Garrett because they don't make dudes that are his size that move like that on like anywhere outside of Myles Garrett. Micah was a guy that was playing off-ball linebacker, and it's like, we know he's a physical freak. He runs a 4.3. He's got this broad jump. He's, you know, he's explosive. All this stuff. There's a couple questions. He had a hazing adjacent incident at Penn State that caused some character concerns. And I think there were some other character concerns with him as well, depending on who you asked. But it was also, is this worth it for an off-ball linebacker who we think can rush the passer? And Dan Quinn gets his hands on him in Dallas, and eventually they're like, you're not an off-ball linebacker. Like, you can play that and be good at it, but you're the best at this rushing thing, and this is perhaps, outside of being quarterback, the most valuable thing in the sport. And I think that is kind of the other question is, like, if we agree that quarterback is the most valuable thing in the sport, what's the next most valuable thing in the sport? Is it getting after the quarterback, or is it supporting the quarterback? Because the two positions that now have $40 million a year players are edge rusher with Miles and Jamar going and helping the quarterback, being a quarterback's best friend, the receiver that just won the Triple Crown. And I would wonder if there's any other positions that are going to come up here as we talk about whether, like, is Pat Surtain, like, how much is Pat Surtain worth as the best corner? Because corners, like, they're hard to find because there's also a rarity there. So how valuable is it to have a legit dude? But I would also say for corner, my answer would ultimately be no, because corners don't seem to be scheme-proof or age proof. Like, that age cliff comes quick, and I would hate to be caught on the wrong side of it, unless you get a guy that's like all of a sudden signing at 24 and you know your D coordinator, like your D coordinator is your head coach. Like, if I'm the Patriots in 2000 and whatever, where I'm in the middle of the Belichick years and he's not near the end where we think Belichick is going to be gone, but if I know Belichick is going to be there, okay, fine, our defensive scheme, our defensive system is not changing. If I'm the Broncos now, like, I have an offensive head coach. My defensive coordinator is Vance Joseph. Could he get hired for a head coaching job again? He could. Probably unlikely, but he could. And if that's the case, is Pat Surtain as valuable in another system? Probably. He's probably the one guy I would bet on, but I don't feel as good about that as I don't care who the defensive coordinator is. Miles Garrett, Micah Parsons, those dudes are going to ball the blank out to the point that I would give them that kind of money. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. There was one other name that I thought of that actually our first call has as well. Vic Sinakakeek. Vic, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show. Who do you got in this proposition, this argument?
What's up? Jalen Carter. I know he's not been in the league that long, but with the criteria that you gave, you know, he doesn't need anybody else to help him be effective at his position. He controls the defensive line and the offensive line all by himself. He's a physical freak. And I think he's still a baby as far as even really understanding the game. He's doing this off sheer power, will, and talent. I have no problem giving him a blank check. It sucks for me to say this as a guy who bleeds burgundy and gold, but Jalen Carter is it for me. Vince McAkee, not Vic.
Sorry. I read the call screener wrong. I got you, Vince. I appreciate the call, and apologies for messing that up. That's 100% on me. That's not on Anthony. That's on me. I own it. But Vince, appreciate the call.
It's all good.
Thanks, man. And Gary, I guess, in Upper Marlboro has the same guy. Gary, go ahead. Why did your mind immediately go to Jalen Carter?
Because he's dominant already. I mean, this guy, they let all those other guys go on the defensive line because they know this kid is it. I mean, he's a really, really good player already. And like the previous caller said, if you leave him one-on-one with 80% of the guards in the league, he's going to beat them. But since he already said that, another guy that I think is a sleeper that is going to be a problem for us in many, many years, Malik Nabers for the Giants. I think that kid is going to be super. And he's probably not ready to get up there with Jamar right now, but I think after next year, next couple years, if he can stay healthy, I think he's the next superstar wide receiver in the league.
Gary, I think those are two phenomenal names. It kind of sucks that there are two guys that are young on other teams in the NFC East. But then again, I think, maybe not the Eagles. The Eagles are probably fine where they are. But the Giants would certainly trade Malik Nabers for Jaden Daniels. So I think it's important to remember that we got the guy in this conversation. But Gary, thanks for the call. And the other thing I like, Anthony, about Jalen Carter specifically in this conversation and why he was my answer to this question, certainly once you get past Micah, like he's Miles, definitely. Micah, yep. Jamar, probably worth it. Justin Jefferson, probably worth it. Those guys are, I think, the obvious ones. Jalen Carter plays every snap. And that is the hard part about paying a non-quarterback at any of these other positions that we've mentioned. Okay, offensive line. Is there currently an offensive lineman in football that moves the needle that much? I don't think so at this point.
I think Tristan Wirfs, but he already got paid.
Tristan Wirfs, well, that's the thing. We're taking off the current contracts. We're, good job, Tampa. You got him at a discount. I think Wirfs is probably the best answer, but like, there's a level that Wirfs will never get to that Trent Williams is at in his prime. And that's not a shot at Tristan Wirfs, because Tristan Wirfs is an all-pro and a deserving all-pro. But like, Trent Williams in his prime is a guy that you could game plan for as an offense. That you could say, there's stuff we ask him to do that if he's not in the lineup, that play's not in our playbook. There's sets of screens and things like that where like, we'll run a wide receiver screen to a side of the field to a receiver with Trent out in front that we can't ask another lineman in the whole league to do. So Trent in his prime, sure. Anyone else right now? I don't know along the offensive line if there is. So once you take out offensive linemen and quarterbacks, the only other positions that play every snap are true off-ball middle linebacker types, safeties and corners. So now, are you willing to pay $40 million a year for a guy that doesn't play every snap at receiver or edge? That's a tough question. Well, if I tell you that Jalen Carter is going to play every single snap, because he played 100% of the snaps in most of the games last year, I think like there's like 7 weeks in a row where he played 100% of the snaps. Well, that becomes a different thing, which is why I like that answer so much. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Essentially, the question is this. Who are the most valuable non-quarterbacks in the NFL? We were discussing with you more on the phones next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up 5 o'clock, going to be joined by my pal Tom Haberstroh. Truth be told, we actually talked earlier today. There's no hiding the fact that this interview is taped, Anthony, because Tom said something that I had to bleep, which is fun. He's like, I don't know if I can cuss on this program. I was like, you can because we're taping, Tom. But remember, even though we're talking in a Zoom, this is going to be on the radio. The radio. Yeah. Can't say that you can't directly quote quite like you directly quoted. But Tom's a great NBA analyst, used to work for ESPN. He has been writing a newsletter for a couple years now called The Finder, which is fantastic. But Anthony, he's also part of the Blazers TV broadcast, does some special stuff for them. And so tonight the Wizards and Blazers are playing. And I thought that was a good reason to revisit the Denny Avdia trade, which is obviously one of the biggest kaboom moments of this entire detonation of the previous Wizards roster. And so it was a really interesting conversation to hear how Denny has really come alive in the last couple of weeks here, how happy they are in Portland with how he's played, how they've played, even though they've had a pretty rough season in some respects, but they're starting to turn things around. And also looking at it then from the Washington side and why this truly was, I think Tom and I ultimately agree in the end, a win-win for both sides. So Haberstroh coming up at 5 p.m. Right now, though, let's keep going with our conversation. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Who are the most valuable non-quarterbacks in the NFL? That's the question. Who are the guys that you'd be willing to pay a whole lot of money if you were given the chance, like mid-level slash low-level quarter Sam Darnold money? The artist formerly known as Daniel Jones money, that $40 million range where last week, Myles Garrett signed, and then last night, Jamar Chase signed. Let's go to Saeed. Saeed, thanks for calling. As always, you're back on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
The guy that I see as just a straight problem is Jared Verse. For the Rams, this guy, I almost think there's a reason why he's not playing with like Aaron Donald, because I think it would be unfair Aaron Donald even said that he's kind of like him a little bit if you made him into a linebacker. This guy went into Philly, forget all of his stats, went into Philly telling the fans he hates the Philadelphia fans. They put him on the big screen, and when they said, aren't you afraid what they'll do? He said, they don't touch me. And that offense can't stop me, that offensive line. Talk trash to the offensive line. Went in, got 2 sacks in the first half on Philadelphia. And on top of that, talked trash to Jalen Carter before the game and was like, oh, well, this guy is a problem. And I'm telling you, I wish we can get this guy somehow in a couple of years. He's a problem, and I think he gets a blank checkbook from me.
It's a really compelling call, Saeed. Thanks. I appreciate that a lot, because it's one that's outside the box. Like, you're definitely, am I ready to give Jared Verse $40 million a year right now? If I'm the Rams and I'm like, I can lose Jared Verse or give him 40. Well, if I put it that way, Anthony, if I'm losing Jared Verse or giving him 40, I'd probably just give him 40.
Yeah.
And like, even that list is small. Like, think about it. How many? I'm trying to think of someone besides who I'm thinking of right now on the Commanders, because I don't want to do this to him. I'll go another Ram. $40 million or Puka Nacua. If you have to cut him, you're losing him, or pay him $40 million.
Ah, that's tough.
Right. Right. That's the point. I was going to say Terry for the Commanders.
That's crazy.
Right. Like, you'd be like, I love that dude. He's everything we want. He's an amazing player. We can't pay him $40 million. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And Jared Verse, you'd be like, I don't know. He's a pass rusher. He's unbelievable. He's everything we want. Yeah, screw it. Like, that adds a couple guys to the list, but not many. It's $40 million. And that's the thing. I do think we need to get over the sticker shock of some of these deals, right? Some of the sticker shock of these deals is very simply our brains have not adjusted to the new salary cap, right? We don't, like, the $40 million a year now is like 32 a couple years ago or 35 a couple years ago because the cap has gone up so much. Let me see if Myles Garrett's contract has hit yet. Ja'Marr Chase's has not hit over the cap yet, but I want to see. Oh God. There's a lot of numbers here. Okay, $40 million in 2027 is the current cap hit. This will at least get the information I want. So in 2027, they're estimating that that will be 13.2% of the cap. Okay? When Daniel Jones signed his deal with the Giants, right? That deal a couple of years ago was when he did he ever count cap number? Oh, he never actually counted for $40 million a year. See, all this money is fake, Anthony. That's the problem. Cash paid $46 million, cap number 15, and then he got traded to the Vikings in year two.
Good gracious.
So he's got a cap charge in 2024 of $47 million, but it's not on this little sheet that I need it to be on. But it's going to be in 2023, it was $15 million, double that, plus another half. It's about 15% of the cap. So we're dropping 2, 3% of the cap every year because we're at another $20 million. And that's the thing, is like, from a cap percent standpoint, and because there's two numbers that we're dealing with here. We're dealing with cash, which I don't care about because I am not in the business of counting other people's money, at least in terms of this show, the analysis piece, right? I am in the business of saying, how does this help or hurt the football team? Because that to me is fair analysis. I'm not in it to put a moral judgment on whether or not people should be paid $40 million a year to play football, right? That's a different conversation. That is interesting, but that's not the one we're having. From a salary cap standpoint, how do you structure these deals in a way that allows you to build the best team possible? And actually, that's something I want to talk about next, because while the Bengals should ultimately be applauded for being able to keep these two guys, the reason we're having this conversation is Ja'Marr Chase signs for $40 million. T. Higgins, somewhere in the 30-ish range. Total, the average annual value over the next couple of years would be around $68, almost $70 million. But what was the cost of the Bengals doing business the way they did? When you hear they signed Ja'Marr Chase too late, let's dive into that and why it's so important to be proactive and why I think that actually gives the Commanders some hope for the future next on the Team 980. But first, a look at what's trending. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Anthony, I just saw our guy Max. Yeah, you see our guy Max. Just walking down the hall with a baseball bat.
He's walking down with a...
It's like a wiffle ball bat.
He looked serious, too, though.
Yeah, he did. He was sauntering this way. He veered, I don't know where, down the hallway. Engineering better watch out. But he had a serious, almost upset look on his face, and he's got a wiffle ball bat. Max is a big guy. Looks like he could do some damage. Hurt. Yeah. I mean, they don't hurt as bad as like a baseball bat.
It stings.
But they not sting. They stang.
Yeah.
And I want to know where he went.
I wouldn't want to be on the wrong side of, you know, that bat. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Just going, kind of huff, puff, chest out. And I was like, is this something I said? Nope, apparently not. Kept it moving. Coming up 5 o'clock, Tom Haverstraw with us to talk about the Denny Avdia trade as the Wizards and Blazers play tonight. How's it worked out for both sides through the top NBA analyst's lens? But, Anthony, the Cincinnati Bengals have re-signed Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, which ultimately I think we can agree is a good thing.
Yes, great thing.
Yeah, they're a better football team if their offense is disgusting than they would be if it's not. And while Joe Burrow can certainly make a lot of good players better, you can't make anybody into Ja'Marr Chase. He took Ja'Marr Chase, one of the best talents, and made him into the Triple Crown winner. Pushed like 2,000 yards receiving. Like what they did last year was crazy. And especially, there's more value, I think, with those two being together because they go back to college and they have even an extended chemistry together beyond just the typical, like, you know, Justin Jefferson's worth every penny he's being paid in Minnesota, but he's not necessarily worth more to Minnesota than he is in than he would be if he went somewhere else. And Chase is worth more to Cincinnati with Burrow than he would be if he went anywhere else because of the relationship that he has with the quarterback. Ja'Marr would be worth a ton other places, but he is, to keep Joe happy and to get the absolute best out of both of them, they need each other. But that fact has been true for a long time. And I think that's the thing that's like mind-blowing about this. Was there ever a point in the last, since Ja'Marr Chase was drafted, that you didn't think the Bengals should keep Ja'Marr Chase long-term?
No.
Is there ever a point where in the last couple of years, the cap didn't look like it was going to rise and that contracts would continue to rise with it?
Yeah.
No, there's not. Like the cap was always going up and contracts rise.
Yeah, constantly right? Going up.
Yeah. So there's no point where they reversed course. Where it's like, oh, receivers cost less now.
Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. They could have given him a contract extension last year. At that point, Justin Jefferson, had they beaten Justin Jefferson to getting it done, they would have been paying him about $35 million. They just signed him for an average of 40. Think of how many good players the Commanders got and plenty of other teams got for $5 million.
You got a couple. I mean, last year, we had a whole bunch of guys on one-year rentals. We had Dante Fowler, 1 year, $3 million, and he gave us 10.5 sacks. So you right. can do a lot with $5 million.
Right. And so if you're telling me every single year you got a $5 million extra credit bonus, why wouldn't you want that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they cost themselves on Ja'Marr Chase alone. Nevertheless, what they cost themselves with T. Higgins, who they gave the franchise tag to last year, a fully guaranteed deal. So you can't mess with the structure. You can't do anything fun with it or funky with it to try to manipulate the cap. You just pay him all the money week by week, 100% guaranteed. Now, with Ja'Marr Chase, did they save money last year? Probably. Last year, Chase made, he was on his fourth year of his rookie deal, so he made $9 million against the cap. But they also could have signed an extension and had the money start in 2025. They would have had to pay some of the signing bonus money up front. But that's the thing. The reason that the Bengals didn't want to do it was because they didn't want to pay the cash. It seems like they always never want to pay the cash. But you pay more in the long term. They paid him all the cash now, and it's cost them $5 million more per year. So, like, on one hand, credit to the Bengals for getting this done. On the other hand, look at how much the Eagles have gotten done because they sign guys as soon as possible. And this is what I don't understand. Why doesn't every NFL team operate this way? Unless you're planning on selling the team soon, where you're like, I don't want to pay that money. I don't want that cash to come out of my account. You're going to have to pay it anyway. And unless, like, I'm not saying every single player you do this, but if it's a guy who no-brainer is going to be on your team, so we're talking your top flight others, and obviously if you have a franchise quarterback, you should pay that guy as soon as possible. Not necessarily the top of the market, although if it's Ja'Marr Chase, you're going to have to pay top of the market. But, like, pay them what they're worth on the current market, knowing that 2 years from now, you're going to be on a bargain. And, like, that's what happened to, for instance, let's even use this one. I have this one pulled up. Justin Jefferson. Okay? Justin Jefferson's number in 2025 was $15 million on the cap because they did a low base salary in year one. Currently, Justin Jefferson is scheduled to make, I'm sorry, he made $8 million in year one. 2025, year one, I believe, of his extension, he is going to make $15 million against the cap this year. He is currently scheduled to make $38 million in 2026, $43 in 2027, and $47 in 2028. He will sign another extension. They will move some of that money around and bring those numbers down before then. But even if they were to not, even if the Vikings were just like, actually, this works out for us with our cap situation for whatever reason, right? And they're estimating over the cap, this is where these numbers are coming from, that in that 2027 year where he makes $43 million, it's 14% of the cap. That's a lot, but it's not crazy. And in 2026, when he's going to make $38 million, that's a number that's more realistic. They'll probably start moving money around after that season. After 2026, they'll restructure for 27, 28, probably extend him, add a couple years, get him to like his age 32 season. Currently, the contract is scheduled to go through his age 29 season. You probably wind up paying him that $38 million. That's now less than the AAV of Chase's deal. And they signed it last year. So it just shows you that, like, yes. Are these deals very expensive? Absolutely. But Devontae Smith reset the wide receiver two market a couple years ago. He's going to make $5 or $6 million a year less. We'll see what the final numbers are. On average, than T. Higgins is going to make.
Did you see how much money the Bengals are paying Ja'Marr and T versus what the Eagles are paying AJ and Devontae?
Yep.
Almost $100 million differential.
Yep.
Which is crazy.
Yep. And the thing is, will then the Eagles have to pay those other guys sooner? Sure. So eventually some of that will catch up.
Yeah.
But you're always, the sooner you can do it, the more ahead of the curve you are.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, even sometimes within a single offseason, you want to be the first guy, the first team, you want to be the last player. Because you want to let your compadres at the other positions reset the market. Part of the reason, by the way, Ja'Marr Chase gets done now is Myles Garrett gets done at 40. What would have happened, though, if they had gotten Ja'Marr done last year? He's probably making closer to Justin Jefferson's 35 number than Myles Garrett's 40. And what does that cost you? Multiple starters?
Mm.
For a team that needs talent? Less than ideal. Less than ideal. So, needless to say, well, let's hope Adam Peters and Josh Harris are willing to pay the cash up front to be able to manipulate the cap later. And I do think that that is how they are going to operate. Coming up next, the Wizards made some financial decisions around Denny Avia. They decided this contract's amazing, so let's sell high and see how many assets we can get in return. Blazers were like, we'll take that, thank you very much. Those two teams are facing off tonight, so that felt like a good excuse to call up my guy Tom Haberstroh, former ESPN NBA analyst, current analyst for the Blazers on television, as well as a writer who has a great newsletter called The Finder. And talk about the Denny Avia trade almost 10 months later. So Haberstroh with us for Not My Beat next.